Come, let us worship the Lord and give him the praise. Amen. Anybody came to worship God today?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't play with me. I said, anybody come to worship God today?
Yeah.
Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. For surely he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. Our call to worship scripture today comes from Psalms 1. It reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night." Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you. We want to thank you, Master, for your presence. For we know that if there's only two or three of us that are here, and we are agreeing in your name, your word said that you will be in the midst. So today we come to say thank you for your presence. Thank you for thinking enough of us to be with us, to share with us, to commune with us. Because you are here, we're able to get what we need. We're able to feel what we need to feel. We're able to hear what we need to hear. And we're able to digest that what you need to feed unto us, that we may have strength that we may have power. For the enemy is always busy. He's always on his job. He's always seeking to see who he can devour and destroy. But because we have received nourishment from you, we have power to fight. So we say thank you. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Anybody here happy that they can face tomorrow because God has given you power? He has given you strength to deal with that old devil, no matter how he try us. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Amen. Amen. She sung that. Lord have mercy. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning. Father, we come to say thank you. The Bible shares with us that we should always give thanks. Because no matter how bad our situation seems, no matter how dark the nights look, no matter how high the mountain stands before us, we will overcome. So today we come to say thank you, for we know that we have an adversary who stands before us, who looks to destroy, rob, and kill. But because we have you, we know we can overcome every attempt. We can overcome every trial. We can overcome every temptation. We can overcome every trick. Father, because we have you, we can stand toe to toe with our enemy and let him know that we got you. For in the word we find that you say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because of your greatness, because of your power, we can overcome. Because of your power, we can go through. Because of your power, we can come out. So this morning, we come to say thank you. Because you're such a good God, you're always with us. Even when we feel like we're by ourselves, if we stand back and take a look at our situation, we'll see that you're standing right there with us. And not only are you standing with us, but Father, we understand if we pay attention that you are working things out on our behalf. So we come to say thank you. Thank you, God, for being so awesome. Thank you, God, for being so powerful. Thank you, God, for being so mighty. Thank you, God, for being who you are. For in the word you said, you I am that I am, which means you'll be everything that we need. So we come this morning to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're so awesome. You're so good. Because we got you, we can look at our situations and realize that no matter how it looks, we will be victorious. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray today. We offer up these thanks in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering. us bow. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. And Father, we pray that as we use them, that your anointing falls upon them. Because your anointing can make it something more than what we can see. Your anointing will cause it to reach farther beyond what we ever thought it could reach. Your anointing will cause it to be something that uplifts those who have a downtrodden heart and a bent over body and a head that's hung low because they can't see that they have even purpose in this world. We pray now because we know that these things can be done because your power, Lord God, can reach beyond any walls, any situation. So we thank you now for what we can do with this gift that you have blessed us with today. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Life of damnation, from eternal death. Oh, the blood of Jesus, that blood that came streaming down to set us free. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. DeWanna, I don't know your new last name, but glad to see you. I hadn't seen you in so long, I had to check to make sure. I said, no, ain't that the one, Duncan? Man, glad to see you and glad to hear you singing for us, amen?
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah. You're always welcome to come back, and you're welcome to join, too.
Yeah.
Amen, just saying, amen, just throw that out there. And it's good to see Mother, amen, Mother Duncan, good to see you as well, amen, amen. It's always good to see the family or the former pastor of this church. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now as we stand in your shoes. We ask, Father, that you open up the ears of your people, open up their spiritual eyes so they can see what you are saying to them. For we pray that this message that comes today is from on high, sent directly from you. For if it's from me, there is no power. But if it's from you, it'll do what you intend for it to do. For you said in your word that your word will not return unto you void, but it will carry out the intentions of his mission. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 20. I still not have gotten used to this modern technology. I'm listening for pages to turn, and I think most of us are pulling it up on our phones. Amen. I guess I'll get there one day. Ephesians chapter 4, begin reading at verse 20, and it reads, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Amen. And just for a few moments, we'll like to take the subject, "I Know I've Been Changed." I know I've been changed. Now that's personal. Because no one knows if you've been changed but you. But here in this text, we find Paul and the second major emphasis of this letter. This letter has six chapters, and the first three chapters of this book are theological. They deal with the New Testament doctrine. The second set of chapters, which is chapter 4 through 6, deals with practical things, and it focuses on Christian behavior. So we find Paul in this practical part of this letter that he's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he's talking to the Christians. Right? He ain't talking to the lost. He's not talking to the heathens. He's talking to the Christians. And he's talking to them about their behavior. And in him talking to them about their behavior, he expressed that their behavior should not reflect the old them. Huh? But it should reflect a new man. Listen to this. Christianity, we must understand, requires that there must be a change. You can't be a Christian if change has not taken place. Jesus came into this world not to be conformed to this world, but he came to reform the mind of men. The entire Bible is about the reformation of man. From the very first chapter in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation, it's all about the reformation of man. But God is so wise, he didn't only select scripture to teach us that change must take place. But he designed us so that if we look at how we mature throughout our years, we learn that change must happen. All right. He designed us in his infinite wisdom that we change socially, we change mentally, and we change physically. And we also change spiritually. And the scientists nowadays have backed up this thought process. They said that every 7 years. And anybody know about the number 7? That's God's number of completion. But they have a theory that every 7 years, you're a brand new person. Your cells regenerate. They replace damaged cells and they replicate themselves, and they change constantly, some faster than others and some slower than others. But every 7 years, you're a brand new person. Your thought process is different. Y'all know how I like to talk about myself. So when me and my wife first started dating, she said,
I'm a little older than you, so my thinking is different. Where you care, I don't care. Lord have mercy. But I found myself over these years, I've gotten to the place where she is, where I used to care, now I don't care.
Amen. Amen.
Change must come.
Amen.
And change will come. And in order for us to be Christians, we must realize we got to change.
Amen.
Mm. I said, because some of us ain't changed yet. Some of us are going to hell through the church, and Lord have mercy, that's the worst thing that can ever happen. Because, listen, we don't just change one time, the change is continuous.
Amen.
Hmm? As we grow, we mature. We don't only mature physically, but we also mature mentally and spiritually. There's some things now that we should be able to make it through without losing our cool that we couldn't do years ago. Change must come.
Amen.
If you're not changing, you're not growing. You know, I had to stop there for a second because a lot of us say we like change, but we don't like it. When change happens, we get frustrated. You know, we get beside ourselves because change means that something was not right. And when we look at ourselves and see there was something in us that was not right, we have a tendency to become defending. We defend our wrong. We back up our wrong. We stand on our wrong. As the children say nowadays, we get 10 toes down on our wrong. Instead of accepting the fact that we're wrong and making the change. Don't become defensive. When you realize that God is showing you that change needs to come in certain areas of your life. Hmm?
Amen.
Paul trying to help these Christians to understand that they should not see their old version of them. In other words, they shouldn't be what they used to be. Now, I got to stop there because, you know, we all are old somethings. Yeah. We all got a past, from the front door to the back door, from the pulpit to the lobby. We all have a past. And Paul says, as Christians, you must understand that even though you got a past, there should be some change in you. Don't allow your pride to keep you from changing. Don't allow your pride to keep you in a box that won't let you grow. Because as Christians, you must continue to grow. God is a progressive God. He doesn't stand still. You don't believe me? Go and look when the children of Israel was in the wilderness. The Bible says that they followed the cloud by day, and they followed the fire by night. But sometimes when God would camp, in other words, he'll stop the cloud and they'll camp. As soon as they finish the camp, God would move the cloud again to make them move somewhere else.
Amen.
God is progressive in his thinking. Some of us are not. And some of us feel that we've made it. We've gotten to a certain place where we don't have to grow anymore. Well, I tell you, if you've gotten there, then it's time for you to go.
Yep.
Because you're perfect. And the Bible tells me there's
only one
who's perfect. None of us will ever reach being perfect while we're on this side. The day we become perfect, we'll transition to the other side. So change must be continuous in us. Look at verse 20 and 21. Paul says this. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. In verse 20 and 21, Paul uses three figurative descriptions of salvation. He's talking about the new birth to make his point. He used the word learned. He used the word heard. And he used the word taught. Paul is saying here that if you have learned of Christ, which means now you're in knowledge of him. If you have knowledge of Christ, then something should have changed in your life. Amen. Because if you have knowledge of Christ, that means you have heard from him. Amen. In other words, you have had an experience with God. Amen. Now, if you have known Christ and you have heard him, which means you've had an experience from him, Paul says something in your life should be changing. You can't stay the same. Huh? I don't care how much schooling I get. I still don't know enough. No matter how much training we get, we still don't know enough. But if there is an experience with God, which means you have submitted yourself to him, you have allowed him to come in, Paul says there should be a change in you. Talk about myself again real quick here. I remember when I was in college and I thought I was, thought I had it going on. I had my Buick Regal with my booming system in it. I thought I had it going on. And I wasn't someone who was not in the church. My family raised me in the church. And I had a good idea of who Christ was. And I was searching for him, but I had a problem that I hadn't resolved yet. I had a cussing tongue. Yeah. I could cuss with the best of them. All right. You ever heard of Bernie Mac? I was about as bad as Bernie Mac. But one day, I was sitting with some of my friends who I play baseball with, and we're out in the public, and I was letting it rip. I didn't care who mama was out there, who grandmama was out there. I was just letting it fly. But this lady said something to me. She said, "Young man," and I was sitting down front, and she was sitting in the back, so I can tell you I was cursing pretty loud. If she was sitting on the top of the stands, I was sitting on the bottom of the stands, and she heard me. She said, "Young man, you seem to be an intelligent man. And I guarantee you, your parents didn't teach you to talk like that." My heart fell in my shoes. And the reason why my heart fell in my shoes is not because so much of what she said, but because God had already been working on me to clean my tongue up. And when she said what she said, it confirmed to me that God was trying to change me and I needed to make the change. So nowadays, I don't cuss. Now, don't push me too far. It might come out. I told you about Rodriguez. I try to keep him in a box, so don't push me too far. It might come out. But there was a change that took place in me because of my experience with God. God was talking to me to tell me that I needed to make a change. Although I already knew him, the change had not taken place. But since now I'm having an experience with God, things in my life should be different. He said, "You learned of him. You heard from him." And then he said the last thing. He says, and you have been taught. Our Bible totals, scripture quotas, Sunday school, church school, vacation Bible school. We go to all this. Paul said you need to realize that you have been taught by Jesus, which means there should be some changes. Yeah. In your life. Anybody here know you've been changed?
Yes,
Paul said you should have changed. He said there should have been a death because of the learning. That death should be the body of your old man, and he should be buried in the grave, and there should be a resurrection of the new you. Can people see the new you? Huh? Or are we just changed on Sundays? I always tell people there are two type of Christians. There's church folks, and there are real Christians.
Right.
Question is, which one are you?
Paul
says, if you were sincere when you came to him and you truly listened, he says the power which is the truth, which is in Christ Jesus, has the power to make changes in you.
Yes.
Second Peter says it like this, verse 3 and 4 says, everything that we need to live a life that is pleasing to God has been miraculously given to us by us becoming more familiar with Christ. By us having a personal and a more intimate relationship with Christ. In other words, you gotta spend some time. If you don't spend time with them, the change won't come. How can you know someone if you don't spend time with them?
Amen.
How can your relationship grow to a place of power if you don't spend quality time with them? Because some of us think we can just spend time versus spending quality time. Let me tell you the difference. If you just spend time with someone, when something happens, you really don't care much. But if you spend quality time with someone, when something happens, oh, Lord, you're going to make sure you take care of that person. God said, if you have spent quality time with Christ Jesus, there should be a change in you. Has it been a long time since you've changed? We may need to have a talk. Because you ought to be getting better. My motto is, and I teach this to my agents. I said, my motto is this. I'm better today than I was yesterday.
Amen.
I strive to be better. And I strive to be better tomorrow than I am today.
Amen.
Because my change must be continuous in order for me to grow to where Christ wants me to get to.
Yes.
If I stop growing, I'll never get to where he intends for me to go. So my change must be a continuous change. But it is the power that we have in a relationship with Christ that make these things possible. As a matter of fact, it's the power that's in our relationship that makes what make possible what Paul was talking about in 22 through 24, where he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which means you can get rid of that old life that you had. The power in your relationship with Christ can help you remove those desires that you have, can remove those things that's in you that may not line up with God. Y'all don't hear me. He says the power in our relationship can renew us. It can restore us. It's going to give us power where we can become the righteous. Paul describes repentance of sin and submission at the point of salvation. We must submit ourselves to Christ wholeheartedly, not part of us. We must give all of us to Christ. And when we give all of who we are to Christ, the Bible shared with us there are some promises that come along with it. Huh? When you have changed so that you have completely submitted yourself with Christ, the Bible teaches me that he'll walk with me. Y'all don't hear me. When I feel like I'm by myself and I don't have no help, the Bible says he'll be my strength. Yes. Y'all don't hear me. When I don't have anyone to talk to, the Bible says he'll sit down and he'll sup with me. Y'all don't hear me? The Bible says when I need help, he'll be my conqueror. Yes. Y'all don't hear me? There are some guaranteed promises that if you allow yourself to change, that God will carry out for you. Colossians 3:3 says this, your old life is dead, and your new life, which is your real life, even though it's invisible to others, is in Christ Jesus. Amen. When we have completely given it all, he would do it all. Y'all didn't heard me. When you have completely, completely, completely submitted yourself, he will be everything that you need. Amen. Oh, when you need a doctor, he'll be your doctor. When you need a friend, he said he'll stick closer than your brother. Amen. When you need strength, he'll be your strength. When you're standing on shaky ground, the Bible says he'll steady the ground that you stand on. Somebody else to give God some praise. He says when the road is rocky, he'll smooth your road. When the hill is high, he'll lower your mountain. When your problems are mighty, he'll blow up your problems, because he has dunamis power. He'll do everything he needs to make sure you're successful. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because you know without a shadow of a doubt you've been changed. Anybody here been changed? I know I've been changed. I thank God for my change. Because of my change, I got a father who loves me, and he will love me eternally. Somebody give God some praise in here. He'll stand with me when nobody wants to be with me. He'll love me when no one loves me. He'll care for me when no one cares for me. Somebody give God some praise. Because of your change, he'll make sure you're successful. Because of your chains, no one can conquer you. No one can devour you. No one can overcome you, because you've been changed. Anybody here know they've been changed? Say with me, I've been changed. And I know I've been changed. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are now open. If there would be one. The doors of my Father's church are now open. Thank you.
Oh,
Amen. Amen. The one you can't ever come here not seeing. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to you to say thank you for being with us today. And Father, as we prepare to leave, as we pad a sojourn to wherever we're going, we ask, Lord God, that you travel with us. Because the enemy is standing outside those doors, waiting on us. Him and his imps, they're busy. Lord God, as a matter of fact, they're working overtime. But we know we have a God who can be everywhere, all at the same time with all of his power. We pray now that your power will keep us. Your power will watch over us. Your power will protect us. Your power will provide for us. And Father, when we lay our heads down at night, and we are the most vulnerable, we pray that your guardian angels will stand with us to fight. We thank you now for all these things. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let every heart say amen.